I didn't send out anything on social media like so many people did, but I did receive the Chick-fil-A black card yesterday.
Oh, yeah?
An event they had. Yeah, Paul was there as well.
Ooh, you think you're fancy? Yeah, I did get one, too.
It's pretty good, it's pretty good strategy by Chick-fil-A, buttering up you.
It's a good strategy.
Buttering up you fat-ass radio host. Although Landry pointed out, Mike, that you've lost 10 pounds.
Have I lost 10 pounds?
That's what Landry said.
Okay, well, you know, now that Landry says it, I've lost 10 pounds.
I was talking to Landry last night. He said that you've lost 10 pounds.
Okay.
Is he lying?
I don't know that I don't really weigh myself, to be honest with you. I think I need to lose about 15 pounds, but that's another story.
You've been watching what you've been eating and everything?
It really depends on the day. I mean, I've currently got like a quarter of a cookie in front of me, so not today.
Let me see this Chick-fil-A black card. By the way, I was at the, what hotel was the Bear Bryant Awards at last night?
Was that the Post Oak Hotel? You were there?
I was on Post Oak. I was in a nice fancy hotel. I don't know what the name is. It was the Post Oak Hotel? That's all it's called? Is it the Westin or something?
I think it's the Post Oak Hotel. I think it's the Post Oak Hotel.
Where was I? Wait, I was in a couple fancy places yesterday. One of them had cookies, but it couldn't have been in the bathroom or something, but it couldn't have been the hotel.
I had cookies in the bathroom at a hotel.
Where the hell was I yesterday? Oh, it was my new place. Never mind. It was that, yeah, okay. There was a little, okay.
Place is a fancy hotel.
It's a fancy, it feels like it a little bit.
Sounds a little sad.
I spent my time with a lot of fanciness yesterday. It was really cool. We were at the Bear Bryant Awards and, I met Rusty Harden and I met a bunch of our listeners. I think I agreed to do like three different podcasts. I don't remember any of it.
Oh, that's exciting.
Kind of drinking.
How was Rusty?
He's good. He's good. I think he pretended like he knew who I was, I think.
That's always nice.
Like, yeah, he had a guy next to him, not in a bad way at all, just that kind of in that like, yeah, hey, buddy, like that kind of way. But he had an associate with him who's a big listener. So
okay.
I realized, because I was talking to Rich Lord about Rusty Harden, before I went up and introduced myself to him. And I realized it's kind of weird that we've never had him on as a legal expert when things have arisen.
Yes.
I guess part of that is I've always felt like at some point I'd like to have him represent me in something, and I don't know what it is, and I feel like it's a conflict of interest almost, because like at some point I'm going to piss somebody off big time.
And you want to hire
Rusty Harden. Not even for the, I'm sure he's a fine enough lawyer, but mostly I want the notoriety. I really want people to be like, wow. Seth Payne has Rusty Harden representing him.
That's not necessarily a good thing, is it? If you have the best legal defense possible, aren't some people going to say, oh, he had to buy the best legal defense possible?
No, it is.
Why didn't you just trust the public defenders?
No. It'd be even more. It's a status symbol. It'd be like, wow, it was a simple parking dispute. Seth Payne went down to contest a parking ticket with Rusty Harden.
I would think you murdered someone during said parking dispute.
Yeah, no. I think it'd be more like it would have to very clearly be something that wasn't that scandalous, but it would be like, wow. I didn't know Seth had that kind of cachet. He's got Rusty Harden representing him in this simple harassment charge. I don't know what it would be. Not sexual harassment. More just like I show up at some guy's office because he talks smack to me on Twitter.
I lifted their car, flipped it over.
So basically they know that, hey, Seth Payne is serious about this.
Yeah.
No matter how minor the transgression may be.
I don't even want that person to know that I'm serious about it. I want the world at large
world.
To know about it. This is the one thought I had last night as I was at the, I think it's the Westin Post Oak, whatever it is, the fancy hotel in Post Oak. For one, the valet that took care of me, fine gentleman. He parked the deceptively fast van right up front. I think at some point, I thought to myself, do I want to be mayor of Houston someday? And I thought, no,
you don't want that.
Houston's too large and it encompasses so much more than just Houston. It's the whole metro area.
People would be like, why is Seth Payne not paying the firefighters?
Yeah, exactly.
You've
why are there
potholes?
Every damn pothole is Seth Payne's fault.
Exactly.
I don't need that. I think I need to be more of something like a bishop of the metro region or something. Like somebody that's like the overlord of the whole area. I don't know. We'll have to come up with a designation for it.
The bishop.
Let me say that Chick-fil-A card again.
Okay, yeah. So here's the one thing. Now, you know this about me, Seth. I don't know if Paul knows this about me. And this is not some sort of humble brag. It's just a weird thing about me. Anytime I've gotten like some sort of card, which usually would be like a gift card to a restaurant or whatever, I always feel oddly guilty about using it. Like there's something weird about walking into a place, getting food, and not paying for food.
Yeah, and it's a strange thing.
It's a strange dynamic.
It doesn't make any sense because, like, Charlie, the guy working behind the counter at Chick-fil-A, it's not like you're taking it out of his pocket.
Exactly.
You know, like, there's not even – I forget what they call him at Chick-fil-A, but the manager, owner, you know, those guys.
Owner-operator person.
The owner-operator, whoever they are. Like, maybe if he were there, he'd kind of feel – but I'm guessing that they're getting compensated for what you do. So you are just – you're taking that money directly from a gigantic corporation.
Yes.
They're giving it to you in exchange for Mike, basically – We've talked about Chick-fil-A for 30 seconds out of the last 3 minutes.
It's worth it.
Do you know that? That's worth more than the amount you would have spent.
You're right.
Chick-fil-A knows what they're doing. And then, frankly, ethically, I don't think you should have accepted it. Next time some kind of little scuffle or skirfla or whatever comes up with Chick-fil-A, you're going to kind of be like, oh, I do like my black card.
So is this the first year that you've had the black card?
First time ever.
Okay.
Yes.
I've had mine for 4 years. That is a humble brag. And I have used it as much as I possibly can because, as you guys know, I can use a little bit more. That's all. I'm going to leave it at that. it is pretty nice. People, for the most part, at most Chick-fil-A's, understand what it is, but it is always the more awkward thing is when you have someone who's either in training or who is new, and you have to explain it to them, and they try to, there's no barcode on it or magnetic strip, so sometimes they'll swipe it, and they won't realize, oh yeah, there's no swipe there.
Okay,
and they'll just
like
keep swiping it, and sometimes they're like, well, it's a promo free, and I almost want to go around the counter and do it for them because I've done it so many times. So I think I know how to do it on their little technology, on their little computer.
Good to know. And I'm guessing they're more common in the bigger cities. So like if you're out in Marfa or something and you show up, like somebody in Marfa might have a clue what the hell this thing is, like, including the manager.
It's only a Houston thing,
right? Only in Houston.
Oh, it is? Oh, you can only use it in Houston?
Right. And at airports, you won't be able to use it either.
Yes.
So that has always bummed me out.
And I think that they only give it in Houston, so it's special.
Oh, really?
So we're even more special.
This is a special situation. You two are, I'm honestly, I feel a little bit,
if you ever want to do lunch, just let me know.
I feel a bit like you guys think you're better than me, and now I'm gonna have to swing my big one the whole rest of the show, to prove to you that you're not.
If you ever want to do lunch with me at Chick-fil-A too, you can come with me. Just know that I will be not paying for anything, and you
Mike, you know how you said you feel weird about that, like how you feel you're inconveniencing? I don't judge you for that at all, because I think I've told you this before. I have this weird thing where I feel like I'm being too demanding of Siri. Like, Siri on my Apple phone, there's times where I'm kind of like, when I, like, if I'm shuffling through a song and I'm like, Siri, play next song. Siri, play next song.
Okay.
So I feel like at some point she's judging me for being too demanding. And I start almost like apologetically saying,
sorry, Siri.
I wish they would give her more of a robot voice so it didn't feel like I was being demanding of a human.
I think you actually can change the voice in some way so that you don't feel as bad about it, but
it's still a human though. Like, you change the voice, but all those different voices, like 20 different voices, but they're all human.
I thought there was one that isn't.
Whatever
the case, I gotta go look at it again. All I know is that whenever I use Siri, Siri doesn't actually work, and I then start yelling at Siri and calling her choice words, thinking that will actually change things, and then she says, oh my.
you know what you should do is,
fight back!
You should change it to one of the male voices and see if you're more polite. We'll find out how much of a misogynist you actually are. I bet when Siri's on there, you're just like, yeah, listen here, you skirt! Give me my damn coffee! But if it's a guy, you're like, Hey, Carl, why don't we, how about maybe you find the name of that restaurant for me?
No, I refuse to treat robots like equal people. And so I will yell at my robot just like I yell at my Alexa every single time. Like, I always say, Alexa, do this! Like, I don't even know what I'm saying. I started doing it for fun, but then I realized, you know what? We need to make sure that the robots know that they're beneath us.
There's something about training Siri or Alexa that's probably good training for training actual employees, because this is where people run into trouble with employees. It's, you got to remember at the beginning, like, all right, we got to slow down and train you slowly and like teach you how to do the very basics and everything. And then like over time, they become much more efficient instead of like getting upset right away that it's not working. There's a learning process with Siri or Alexa or any of those people where you really got to take your time.
And by the way, if you ever want to listen to Sports Radio 610, just tell Alexa, hey, Alexa, turn on radio.com. And then she'll ask a follow up, which station do you want to listen to? And you will say, Sports Radio 610.
Is that how it works?
That is how it works.
I did that commercial. I don't think that's how I said it.
That's how I do it.
You can say, listen to Sports Radio 610, and sometimes she gets it right, but other times she will tune into a random station in San Francisco. That for whatever reason, continues to happen, but they're slowly working on the actual process. So guys, last night I went on a date with that girl that I quoted from Bumble. It was a good time.
Where'd you go?
We went to Present Company.
Okay.
They were playing my 80s jams in the background, so I felt at home. She is into sports, so that is something that over the last couple of people that I've actually gone out with, that has not been the case. For the most part, they have been people that are, I think, just not as in tune with things. But apparently she went up to Boston for the Astros and the Patriots games at the beginning of the year. So we got that going on. And then afterwards, I watched the Bucks and Rockets game, which was an interesting game to watch, mainly because, okay, James Harden took over in like the second quarter and in the fourth quarter. And then at the same time, you're looking at this Rockets team and you're thinking, okay, they're playing pretty well, all things considered. What I thought coming out of that one is like, wow, this Bucks team is really, really good.
Yeah, they're good.
And how bad must have Jason Kidd been that he couldn't get these guys to operate at the level that Mike Budenholzer was? Because, man, they're passing the ball well, they're driving through the lane, they're kind of making Clint Capela not look particularly adept defensively, and man, that's a really good team. I think that's the team that might be coming out of the East based off of right now.
They might be.
They're really good.
You know what they, sometimes like, you'll be watching a game and you'll feel like the length and athleticism of the other team kind of like overwhelms the Rockets just because, you know, they're older and kind of more skilled. I felt last night was one of those kind of games where they sent all these different guys to Harden and Bledsoe played. You know, in that game, and he played very well. And the talk after the game was like, well, James Harden scored 40 points, but see where they limited him from an efficiency standpoint.
It felt like Harden did not have 42 points. And he was awesome, and he had a couple of stretches where it was like video game on fire. But there are other stretches as well where it just felt like the Bucks knew how to defend him. And it also sort of reminds you, they're going to need Chris Paul in the playoffs, no matter how well they've been playing of late. And they're playing probably as good basketball as anyone in the league over the last like week or so, 2 weeks, 3 weeks, month maybe. They still are going to need a Chris Paul.
Yeah. And that's the one thing with the Rockets always, whether it's the Spurs overtime or just whichever teams learn and figure out, okay, we'll let – like James Harden getting 40 points where he bleeds you kind of slowly, but you can – still beat the other team, everybody around him. That's what works against the Rockets. Like, don't follow. You can almost look at the free throws and be like, okay, Harden had 35 points, but he only shot 3 free throws. So, that was actually a pretty good game. Like he's reached that status. So kind of like it used to be with Kobe, you know, where times where that's why Shane Battier was so good at guarding Kobe. Different philosophy and concept, but also still like, if Battier could turn Kobe into an inefficient player,
right,
then the rest of the team suffered. Kobe would like double down.
That's a good.
They'd be like,
analogy.
All right, you're frustrating me, Battier. I'm going to score 40 just to prove that I'm better than you. But meanwhile, everybody else suffered because of it. The University of Houston last night.
Yeah, they finally lost.
This is where it look.
Do you hate the charge?
I have an unpopular take.
There was a charge that negated a game tying layup at the end of the game, and like I'm trying to figure out where people are so angry about it.
I agree with you, Seth. Yeah, I watched this thing 5 times last night, and that's a charge. And I usually hate charges in basketball as a method of like defending consistently.
I love it.
That's a charge.
What is it? Is left foot on the restricted area?
I don't think so. I mean,
I guess that'd be the question. Maybe somebody
will text in and have a different perspective. I'm sure they will, especially a big U of H fan. But I would have liked to have seen U of H win that game last night on the road against Temple. But watching that play over and over, I'm like, the guy, he got there early. He got planted. Us 2 feet down. Yeah. That's a charge.
He's waiting for him.
Yeah, you know, you slap the court right here. You set your feet right there, and then you take the charge, and then you shake it all around because taking charges is awesome, guys.
Well, and then when Samson went down to his knees at the end of it, that was for dramatic effect, right? He was okay.
I think they were all pissed off.
I just wanted to be sure. The way he went down, it actually looked like, oh my gosh, this is about to like be a tragedy. What the hell's going on?
Yeah.
Okay. I just wanted to be sure that we followed up on that.
So I thought, I
mean, for those of you who don't know,
he's not dead.
He was like down on his hands and knees, looking like he was having a heart attack or something. Like the shock and anger had overcome him, but he was just being dramatic.
It sucks to lose on a block charge because those calls are always just like complete, you know, 50-50, basically whatever they call right there.
Yeah.
But I thought it was a charge just looking at that play. We have some very exciting news on the program today. Coming up in about an hour and like 3 minutes. Patrick Ben David will join us. Who is Patrick Ben David?
Bet David.
Patrick Bet David is the guy who says on Twitter that Deshaun Watson is the next Dwight Howard.
He has the worst take ever on this front, and we are going to be, I would say, very, very, we're going to get a newspaper out. We're all going to have newspapers, and we're going to go bash, 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 just like he's a bad dog. Because here's the thing. I mean, this take is crazy, and yet this person is somehow a successful entrepreneur.
Well, and no, and it's not a matter of he's an entrepreneur. This is what angers me the most, is that he, like, presents himself as a positive force in people's lives.
Yes.
An inspirational force.
Very fraudulent.
And, he has a horrible, horrible sports take. Like, even if you don't like Deshaun Watson, this is a horrible sports take. And also is, like, just trying to tear somebody else down. And, yes, we know that he's trying to get attention like this, but I don't care. Our goal is to completely and 100% humiliate him on air.
We just want
to
be mean.
To expose him to his followers as the fraud that he is.
Yes.
Unless.
Free
unless
them.
I'm giving there a 40% chance that he comes out and is like, guys, you know, I realize I was wrong.
Oh, if he pulls a Shaughnessy, that would be very disappointing.
Yep. Well, we'll find out coming up in about an hour when Patrick Bet David joins the radio program.